Welcome to the Mountain Nerds. My name is Caleb, and this week I have a couple of special guests from First Geek 411, and that is Cameron and Chris. How are you guys doing?
Doing great.
Awesome. Awesome. I have a lot more energy than our podcast last night. I'm not going
to lie. Chris, you need to stop saving your energy for other podcasts.
I wasn't saving it for this podcast.
Yes, he was.
I mean, that's true. It's true. It's like, oh, I'm going to be a guest. I got to bring the A game.
He did.
Whereas I can rely on Cameron to bring his A game any Monday. So we're good.
You mean any Monday at 6:45 Mountain Time?
Exactly.
Twitch.tv/1geek411.
Shameless plug. Anyway, so I invited these guys to come and talk about our subject tonight, which you guys voted on Twitter. So we did a poll a couple of weeks back. I had Zelda, Animal Crossing, space, and something else that I can't remember. And you guys wanted to hear a space episode. So I said, you know what? I got a couple good guests for that. We'll bring them in. We'll talk about space. But before we begin, Cameron, Chris, tell me a little bit about yourselves and First Geek.
I'll go first. My name is Cameron. I live in Dallas, Texas, the best state there is, just as a matter of fact. And except for Houston, which is the sweaty armpit of Texas. You don't want to go there.
And that reminds me, when I was living in Louisiana, New Orleans was the armpit of Louisiana. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, I know what you mean.
I mean, if you have a place that you say you don't want people to go in your state, are you really the best state, though?
I mean, it's just other than that area.
I mean, I'm just saying.
In the West. Okay, good point, Chris. You might win this round.
But we at the same time, Montana is not going to ever claim best state because we're like, stay away.
Yeah, you don't want people to know.
We don't want to encourage people.
When it comes to geeky stuff, been a long time video gamer, Magic the Gathering, board games, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. That's been a huge part of my life. Trying to think what all is going on. Favorite franchise, you got to love Kingdom Hearts, even though it's a garbage fire. But you still got to love it. It tries. But yeah.
Nice. So Chris, tell us a little bit about yourself.
So yeah, I'm Chris. I'm from Montana, the not best place. So don't get any ideas, anyone. Long time, just in general, nerd, very broad nerd on my end. So anime, anything anyone's willing to share with me, I will get into with a few exceptions that I haven't been able to as of yet, but that might just because I haven't been able to sit down with people to do so, naming Doctor Who specifically. But anime, I've been playing video games since I can remember, NES days. Man, throwbacks. Cameron got me into Magic the Gathering, so
I did
so much of that. Favorite video game series, along Cameron's lines, it's gonna be Final Fantasy. It's just the longest one I've been playing since I can remember. And not as much as of a garbage fire, and my gripe with Kingdom Hearts is not enough Final Fantasy.
Which is a very fair gripe looking at Kingdom Hearts 3.
All right, well, tell us a little bit more about First Geek and how it got started, and you know, what do you guys do?
So we went to college together way back in the day, and
in a very definitely not the best state.
Yes. Looking at you, Oklahoma. And so, and then years later, we'd been chatting and Chris ended up coming to visit me. I was a youth minister in Connecticut at the time. And we went to PAX East. Mm-hmm. That was in 2016. And then I'd been thinking for years about doing a podcast, and pitched to Chris the idea for what it would end up becoming, First Geek. And then we ended up launching about a year later in 2017. Nice. And then we are a Christian podcast focused on basically geek news. We look at video games, movies, TV, tech, board games, kind of an eclectic thing because we're eclectic people. Mm-hmm. And then our rough goal is the idea of being Christians without being preachy.
Yeah.
So we definitely want to bring up our faith, but not necessarily do the the Jesus juke for everything that's going on. Yeah. So.
Right. We don't focus on like Christian based media.
Yeah.
is a big thing. It's
you mean you guys don't talk about God's not dead every episode? That's what I assumed.
right. Or we don't seek out like Christian dedicated games. It's a Christian tabletop game or anything like that. It's about finding themes and finding God in the things we regularly enjoy. Absolutely. One reason why I was all about this is I was at the time anyway, just think about starting like something online, whether it be mm-hmm. a YouTube channel or anything, which we just didn't have the gear for, but also it was just a wonderful excuse to keep in touch with yep. one of my best friends, Cameron.
Awesome. 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 Yeah. You guys do some awesome stuff. You guys also stream. When do you guys usually stream?
So we do Monday nights, 6:45 Mountain Time. That's our main episode. And then we also do a once a month book club, typically the last Thursday of the month. Mm-hmm. There's obviously going to be a little bit of change there for the next couple months with Thanksgiving and then Christmas.
Wait, Thanksgiving's on a Thursday?
Plot twist, Chris. but we do that. And then we try to just do some other streams. Maybe we've done a couple Saturday streams recently and things mm-hmm. like that, but there's not really a formal schedule for that yet.
Oh, it's more like that. If there's something one of us wants to stream, go ahead mm-hmm. and do it. It's just like, these are the normal things, but when we get time, we're trying to find some good co-op things that we can do together too. And
yeah. Yeah. I've watched you guys play Fall Guys a couple times and some other things as well. I watched Cameron play Death Stranding. Been kind of going through that one. So that's been pretty cool.
Yeah. I'm excited to finally be picking up that game. After I think I've had it for 11 months.
And so, wait, Cameron, you have a backlog too?
I do, Chris. It's just not like your backlog.
Yeah, I need to find more time to sit down and play, but sometimes I just don't have the energy to play video games like I used to. But when I do, I hit it hard. Too hard.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thank you guys again for coming on, and we'll just jump into tonight's topic, which is outer space, or as the little guy from, what was it, Portal 2, space. So first of all, we'll just kind of start at the top here. What is some of your favorite films that have to do with space?
One on my list is Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one. You know, comedic value, also fun book to read.
Great series
thrown out there. Also, just it combines so many elements from some of the best space series in general. Mm-hmm.
So remind me who's all in that. I know Martin Freeman is in that, but who is the, what is it, Zorp? Or I'm thinking Zorp. I don't remember the main guy's name. That little alien. I've only seen it like once, and it's
Marvin.
Been a long time ago. Marvin, thank you.
Marvin, thank the, you. Yes.
Yeah, whatever. You know,
the pressed robot. Oh, Marvin.
And also, the other thing I remember from that movie is the number 42. So,
answer to the universe, man.
The answer to the universe. Now, has there been any kind of like theories on why? I've read stuff on that movie on like why they said the number 42, and it was like some crazy fan theories or something. Have you guys ever seen or heard of any of those?
I haven't, because I always just took off at the face value. It's like, even if they just picked a number at random, it's just assigning a random value to the answer of the universe. And I really just enjoyed the humor in it more so mm-hmm. than mm-hmm. trying to determine how did they come to this decision?
Right. In the book series, it very much serves as that allegory that you can spend your whole time searching for something and then not know what you're searching for. Where like that's very much like the plot point there, where it's the idea of they created this supercomputer to calculate this answer. And then when it's 42, they're now like, well, what does that mean? It's like, oh, well, we didn't calculate the question. We just calculated the answer.
Right. Nice. It's not the answer you're expecting, and you're not sure exactly if maybe that's the answer to the real question you were trying to answer.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. That's a good little perspective on that. I've seen some like really crazy in-depth theories about how 42 is like this number because it means this mathematical thing. And I was just like, whatever, man. It's just, I think it's just really just supposed to be funny. That's,
yeah, that's exactly like that's how just, I always take it. Although I do enjoy like deep dives when people do that. It's like, you're taking this way too seriously, but I'm enjoying your energy.
Well, Cameron, what's one of your favorite space films?
I mean, it's hard to not say Star Wars, right?
Right.
Like, right. And I mean, we can shout out like The Empire Strikes Back and Rogue One, especially. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so hard to not talk about the impact that movie has had and like how much it's defined for sci-fi going forward. And just the idea of this giant interconnected galaxy that like, there's still these like loose rules and there's things like that, but just all of these planets that are connected, there's this global politics. You have the Outer Rim that's less connected. You have like all this.
It creates this just massive, and I say universe very loosely because I don't mean like it's in the, no, I'm talking about like its own like little universe, because you have all this like spinoff media and you have all these things that kind of build it together. Like, for instance, are you guys excited for The Mandalorian? Have you guys watched it?
You mean I'm assuming The Mandalorian season 2 that starts in 4 days?
Oh, yes.
that Mandalorian?
By the time our listeners listen to this, you probably... I believe they probably watched all the episodes by now, and or if not a couple. But yeah, I'm super pumped up about it. But yeah, I just like how we get all these different stories, the Rogue One stories, all these different crazy stories we get in you know, the animated series and you know, Rebels. It's just awesome that they create this one just massive thing. You know, we don't get that with a whole lot, you know, maybe a couple huge media franchises, but not something, you know, on that size. I mean, Star Wars has been around forever as well. So it's like, it's awesome. So shameless plug for me, a couple episodes ago, we did a Star Wars episode. Go listen to it. yeah, no, that's awesome. I'm a huge Star Wars fan as well. So let me ask you this, Cameron, what is your favorite movie in the whole all of them, out of all of them, and your least favorite movie? Don't count the like the Mandalorian or Clone Wars or anything like that. I'm talking about out of the 9 movies, which one's your favorite and which one's your least favorite?
So out of the 9, I think Empire is my favorite. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just hard to, and like obviously that was before my time. I say obviously for the people that are seeing me on video, but like there's the impact of, I don't know if there's ever been a sequel that was like as good of a follow-up as Empire. Like, yeah. I think that like that'd be very hard to argue a better sequel. And then least favorite. I mean, I guess I'll do the fan cop out and be like, a lot of the prequels just have cringy stuff. Yeah. If I had to choose one,
don't you say it?
Probably Phantom.
Okay. Whew, you didn't say it.
Like,
ooh, I was sweating there for a second because I thought you were going to say my most favorite, which I'm going to get a lot of hate for it. But my favorite is I like the Attack of the Clones for several different reasons. First of all, you get to really look at the like more Jedi stuff, which is really cool. Because the first one was like more set on Tatooine and stuff like that. And then the last one was obviously it was more focused on Anakin. It was more like, you know, you got Mustafar, you got all these different things. It was kind of the ending of the Jedi Council. But then the second one is like, okay, we're actually seeing like Jedi stuff. Plus that movie was also one of the first ones I actually saw in theaters. So it's kind of like a little special in my heart because I got to go see that with my dad. And so yeah, that's my favorite. And then my least favorite was probably Solo. Hated that movie.
Oh no.
I hated it. I was bored. I was like, eh, this is okay, but it's just not anything special. You know, I didn't really care for the guy who played Han Solo as well. Donald Glover was the best part of that movie.
Yeah, Donald Glover's movie. And I enjoyed Solo for what it was. I think it, I don't necessarily think it needed to exist, but like for what it was, I definitely enjoyed it. And to your point, it's a movie that I enjoyed my one watch of, and I don't necessarily intend to watch again.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how I feel about it. I mean, really. And then you got the, I don't know if it's okay to even spoil it to this point, because it is kind of older now, but you have Darth Maul at the end, which was pretty cool to see that.
They never revisit. Whoa.
Yeah. It's just like that one little thing. And then it's like, oh, no, we're done.
Okay. What happened? I'm just confused.
All right, Chris, give us your top and your bottom of the list.
So I'm actually going to agree with you, and Attack of the Clones is,
it's awesome.
Probably just because, I mean, in general, it just the technology advancement, it really shined what CG was capable of in that early 2000 era. There's just a lot of really great points in that.
Yeah.
Bottom. I'm not even sure. Probably Phantom.
Could see that.
Yeah.
Now Phantom did have that. The whole ending with the fight scene was right. Like the best part of that whole.
But the problem is that there's another like hour and a half of that movie.
Yeah. That's the good part. And then,
And
like it's a problem when a silent antagonist is the best part of that movie.
Right.
I just want to say that. Like, now music, phenomenal.
Oh yeah.
Like the music of Phantom Menace is probably some of the best, but like,
right.
That movie.
I can definitely agree. But like in general, like the plot and everything else, like, I mean, yeah, the prequels in general have redeeming moments.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have Samuel L. Jackson who, I mean, you just can't go wrong with that, with his character, with Mace Windu.
Yeah. And his, that was something. Yeah. And there was what's his name? Oh, why? It's on the tip of my tongue.
Watto?
No, it's there. My brain isn't working tonight. What is his name? Liam Neeson.
Woo! Oh, as a Qui-Gon.
Qui-Gon, thank you. Yeah, that was, I'm a big Liam Neeson fan, even though I can't remember his name half the time.
Supposedly, you know, he's been asked to reprise his role in for like a live action role.
What?
I thought universe. It was he'd been asked to reprise it for animation, and he said he's never been asked to do live action, which is exactly what he would say if he had been asked to do it live action. Just saying.
Well, it would be really neat to see like in the Obi-Wan series if he came back as like a Force ghost at like an episode or something, talk to Obi-Wan. So I'd be about that. I'd be totally about that. So we're going to move on a little bit. So I have two because I couldn't decide. I was like, am I going to go something more serious or am I going to go something comedy? So I'm going to start with the comedy. One of my favorite space comedy films is Galaxy Quest. Absolutely.
Oh my.
It's a good one.
Love that movie. I've seen it. I don't know how many times. I actually need to force my wife to watch it because she doesn't like space movies. And I'm like, you have to watch this because it's such a classic now. You got a fantastic cast.
Mm-hmm.
And then just like, it was supposed to be kind of like a parody movie, but honestly, it's kind of, it became its like own little thing, which is really fun. You know, Tim Allen's great in that. And then you got Sigourney Weaver and all these other just great characters.
And Alan Rickman's in that, right?
Yeah. Alan Rickman's in it. Rainn Wilson's in it too. He plays one of the alien guys or whatever. I didn't even recognize him, but yeah, he's in that. So Dwight from The Office. So I thought that was pretty cool. My other favorite space movie would have to be Interstellar. One of my favorites. I absolutely love that movie. I love the just artistic direction that they went with it. The story itself is really good. It's kind of crazy. It's kind of fun. You go to these different, they shoot like different planets. They do different things. They shoot like wormholes. And from what I understand, they actually had a actual like scientist on set to help them with a lot of these things to make sure they got, try to get, you know, as accurate as possible, how different like wormholes would work if they exist, or black holes, how they kind of work. So I thought that was really cool. That's why I love that movie.
Yep. Interstellar's on my list. It's a movie I have not seen. It's one of those that I'm our podcast listeners would know that, like, if I miss a movie in theater, it means I probably am not going to see it unless someone like makes me sit down and watch it. And Interstellar is definitely another example of that, where like it's one I'd meant to get to and I didn't. And so I've just never seen it.
It's a long movie. So if you plan to watch it, just get prepared with the popcorn and put your feet up, relax and watch it. Chris, have you ever seen Interstellar?
Yeah. And I really did enjoy it. I mean, the overall story, but like that, the videography in that movie and just the special effects as well. And the pacing was actually really on point, in my opinion.
It was
like, it kept a very kind of mellow feel throughout it without being over exciting. And I really enjoyed it as just a relaxing kind of space movie to watch. And
yeah,
I would definitely recommend it for sure.
It also had its slower moments in that movie without getting boring as well. Like it was like slow, but then it was like, ooh, okay, I want to see what happens next. Cause this is pretty good. So, I love that movie. I highly suggest, Cameron, you need to go check it out. Let me know what you think, because it's pretty good. It's a pretty good one. Really good Christopher Nolan movie. So,
yeah, awesome. It's definitely something you probably did want to watch in theaters because it was Christopher Nolan.
Yeah,
because he specifically, when he directs and stuff, he hit the point is for that theater experience.
Yeah,
but
I'm kind of curious what it would have been like to see that like IMAX. I'm sure that would have been like mind blowing, kind of on the same level as when like IMAX and 3D and stuff, that stuff started getting big when Avatar came out.
Yeah.
Not The Last Airbender, Blue People Avatar. And I'm assuming that's kind of on that same like, whoa, this is like awesome, because it's just, there's so much going on, and I'm assuming in IMAX, I haven't been to an IMAX movie in years, but from what I remember, it was pretty great when I went. You know, you get a real sense that you're like there, you know, and just being in like space, being in there would be really, really cool.
Right. It's definitely like Interstellar was made for that IMAX experience or whatever the big theater of the time was, which, you know, it's right in that period of IMAX kind of hitting its stride of being this very fantastic experience. And I don't think I did see it. I thought I did see it in a very, it wasn't IMAX, but it was one of the large theater screenings for the movie. And, you know, even in that experience, it was very wonderful. And even the sound in that movie. The use of silence in periods too was such a good job with the sound engineering in that movie.
You know, I think silence goes kind of along with that, Chris. I think a silence goes a long way in movies.
Especially for space.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like it just kind of brings me back to The Quiet Place. You know, how the use of silence was like keeping people on their toes, you know. Not movies don't have to have this like big thematic music the whole time. You know, the use of silence in films it really adds value to it, you know. At least I think so. But yeah, awesome. Okay, so did you guys, either one of you, have anything else to add?
I just want to do a shout out to the movie Serenity, the follow-up for the series Firefly. Just because, in general, the story of the creation of that movie is wonderful. Like, a first major film that was crowdfunded. The videography also in that opening scene, all done in one shot, is ridiculous. And also just as a good closing to a series that should have had more.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good segue, because that is my favorite TV show set in space is Firefly. I agree with you on that. It should have been more. And I think a lot of people are like, it needs to be more. I did see some people like actually want it to come back. So our listeners, if you If you haven't seen Firefly, then you could just, and you're a geek, you could just take that geek nerd card away because you're not really a geek or nerd. I don't know.
I'll just see myself out then.
Or you can just...
No, Cameron, no!
Or you can just get on it, you know. I mean, it's something that's readily available. Just go watch it.
I've seen Serenity, but I haven't seen the series.
Well, I'll let you keep it then. I was about to say you need to hand it over and cut it up right here in front of us.
You can watch it real quick. There's just so many good elements in that series, though, in Firefly. I mean, especially like as Christians, you know, you have a wonderful portrayal of a great person of faith.
Reverend Book
in that series, and
it was incredible.
He's a phenomenal character, and it was also just you know, it's a portrayal we don't often get to see in mainstream portrayals of people of faith, and he's phenomenal.
Where they treat him not like, because a lot of times when Christians, like you were saying, are portrayed on screen, it's usually like at a jab, you know, they take a jab at us, but. It was nice to see him as like he's the wise guy that everyone's coming to him for questions, and like he kind of gives them guidance throughout the whole series. But yeah, if you haven't seen Firefly, go check it out. It's a cool space adventure, one season. So Cameron, you can get through it. I was joking. I'll give you guys a pass if you do go see it. It is Nathan Fillion. Thank you. Sometimes I say names wrong. Nathan Fillion is the lead. He is awesome in that, in the main role. It's just kind of just a space adventure about this crew that he has, kind of put together. They just go out and do things. Like, I mean, really that's the plot of it. I mean, obviously there are some, plot elements where there's a young woman aboard with her brother and the government's kind of after them. So we have that kind of like subplot, but most of it is they're just trying to make money. They're trying to survive in space. Chris, do you want to add anything else to that?
So for the most part, they're like kind of anti-heroes in the sense they're just outlawish. I mean, they're smugglers. I mean, yeah, they're breaking rules, but they were also following the main characters. They were part of the rebellion that posed against the potential tyrannical government that was kind of that they were at war with, that led to kind of the Federation of the Planets and stuff, as well as dealing with themes of government overreach and things like that. And possibly government-funded experiments on people. That's more so on Serenity's end, I guess. It gets a little deeper into that to kind of finalize certain things.
Kind of puts a bow on it. Serenity kind of puts a bow on the whole series. So,
right.
It's actually really cool because I read an article a while back that it was like each one of the characters represented a part of Mal, who is Nathan Fillion's character, that he didn't have. So, like, Book was the man of faith. You know, faith, and like the doctor Simon, I think was his name. He was like intelligence, and like these just different things. All that these crew members, like Jane, was like boldness. You know,
Jane.
Yeah, Jane's hilarious. Absolutely love it. But all of those characters, like, are kind of the things that his character needed within the series, and so it was really cool. That article that I read was awesome. I have to find it and post it in the show notes if I can. But yeah, it's pretty great. But we'll move on. Cameron, what is your favorite television show in space?
So I love me some giant mechs. And so the only correct answer was Gundam Wing. And so love Gundam as a whole. It's a series that was a huge part of my like growing up years. And it's one that I haven't necessarily kept up with by any means. But it's a great show, and it's very much, one of those series that's so long running that there's kind of an arc for everyone. Like, you have your sillier arcs, you have your more serious ones. And then for, I guess, myself and a lot of 90s kids, Gundam Wing was our introduction to that genre. And it was such a cool take on the series, getting to see, still very much about Earth, in terms of, it's not about like colonizing planets or anything like that, but getting to see the idea of these, basically all the countries have gone into space. And so now they're just kind of orbiting and doing stuff, and getting to see the ideas of governments coming together, governments fighting each other, getting to see the very cool design for those, the very iconic Wing Gundam. Also big shout out to Endless Waltz, the follow-up movie.
Oh yeah.
So
now that, how long has Gundam as a whole, I'm not talking about Gundam Wing, but this whole franchise has been around a quite a long time, right?
I want to say it was 80s.
I think like the original Gundam series, even in terms of like outside of modern media, goes back even to like the late 70s.
Yeah, the really? First episode of Mobile Suit Gundam aired April 7th, 1979.
Yeah.
Wow.
So.
Wow.
It's awesome. It's yeah. I love me a good Gundam show.
I mean, that's going back 40 years now. Mm-hmm. That's insane.
And still constantly growing, and they're releasing new series or new adaptations. I mean, mm-hmm. granted, they have like 3 or 4 different timelines now, but mm-hmm. each one offers its own little unique twist. And yeah.
Nice.
And now Japan's actually building one.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that. That was cool. I was like, what?
Well, they did build originally. They did just do a non-movable statue before, and they're like, okay, now we're going to build one that could actually move. Granted, it's still limited, but it's like...
Limited from what they're telling us.
Yeah, and then you're
like prepping the lasers and...
Yeah, and then they have the video of it actually moving, and you're like, that moves really well.
Yeah.
It pulls out a sword ready to go. They're like, oh, like, yeah, y'all want to talk Space Force? We'll show you Space Force.
Like, is this going to happen in my lifetime? Because that would be amazing.
Yeah.
That's awesome. All right, Chris, what do you got for us?
So, I mean, this was a toss-up. There's so many good, especially like TV series-wise. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's hard not to mention Star Trek, but I'm going to bypass that. I'm going to go with... I'm gonna do two here. So in terms of live action, mm-hmm. I'm gonna throw out Battlestar Galactica.
Okay.
Not only just as a twist regarding the origin of our species, mm-hmm. which is super interesting, for how they did that, but also just the possible, like, your primary antagonist is obviously, AI still, in a mm-hmm. sense, or what happens when technology turns on you, to an extent, or what happens when your technology starts looking like you and acting like you. So many good themes in Battlestar Galactica, so many iconic moments. Okay. The concept of travel, and also just good, also just throwing in a modern, technologically advanced age, still a return to mythology in our exploration of space. I love Battlestar Galactica. It's a long watch though, but so I can't recommend it to everyone. But if you are on Netflix, I'm also a big fan of the Voltron series, the Netflix Voltron series.
Well, let me grab something real quick. Here's my nerd card. I'll just tear that up. I've never seen either one of them.
Oh man, I mean, Battlestar Galactica is understandable. I mean, granted, the modern one was a remake or reboot of the original like series from what was that? Is it the 60s and 70s, or is it even back to the 50s? I mean, they did a good job with the effects and everything in that one. Mm-hmm. But the Voltron series was also a wonderful reboot. If you don't want to have to watch the original 80s series from Japan, but I really like it. They handle like the alien races in Voltron really well, and just trying to bring peace. Again, it's about that balance of autonomy over tyranny, over the idea that the use of tyranny to unite, in a sense, because that's typically what happens when you have a universal power that's trying to take over everything, and ends up oppressing people. But both are wonderful series and
awesome. Yeah, I need to get to watch. And I think Cameron, have you seen either one of them?
I have not seen the reboot of Ultron.
You've seen the original or the...
I've seen the original.
Okay.
And I've seen bits and pieces of the original Battlestar Galactica.
Okay.
But I also have not... Well, I'm pretty confident it was the original. I say that. No, I'm not 100% sure. I've seen bits and pieces of one of the Battlestar Galacticas.
I mean... I think you should know if it's the original or not.
It was a long time ago, and so I that's mean, why I don't remember.
The reboot started in like 2004, like mid 2000s.
I feel like that means it would have been the OG one.
OG was like the it was 70s. So late 70s.
Like I feel like it must have just been reruns.
Early 80s.
Yeah, late 70s.
So was the original one, was it, did they take like the original run and then like do a Doctor Who kind of thing where it's all kind of like same canon, or was it like a reboot completely?
So I've never actually seen the original, so I don't know what that the relationship of the actual the most recent series is to it. I know there was a lot of like references to the original, but I think it was in general its own thing. It was a retelling, a modern retelling of the original.
Okay. Awesome. Well, just some special shout outs here. I want to give a special shout out to Doctor Who. Big fan.
I've just recently got into Doctor Who. We did a Doctor Who special previously for our podcast, and I started with the new Who stuff. And so it's one of those that like has definitely been growing on me. Not quite.
What doctor are you on?
We just got to Capaldi.
Okay. Everyone like Tennant, I think I'm a huge fan of Matt Smith's doctor because he was the one I started with. Cause we were just watching on TV. I served as a missionary to Iowa in Iowa. Would you believe it? At this little, it was like a ministry center, like for inner city kids. And me and my missions partner, we, on the weekends, we wouldn't really do anything. So we were just flipping through the TV or whatever. And so we started watching Doctor Who. So I watched the entirety of Doctor Who while living in Des Moines, Iowa. And it was pretty great.
Nice.
Awesome. All right, Cameron, you want to kick us off with our favorite, video games in space?
Okay, so I'm just saying in Kingdom Hearts, they travel through space.
On gum ships.
You got the gummy ships. There's different planets. Counts. that's about all I have to say about that. From a more serious answer, I got two. Right. And so the first one's the Mass Effect series. With a big shout out, especially to Mass Effect 2.
Yes.
Which I think... you could easily argue is like one of the best cast of characters ever for that style of game.
Oh yes.
So it's also like a super short game unless you like, you know, do all the character growth. And so that's something that's really cool about it is it very much, gives you the threat and you can choose to help your people improve and get ready for that final mission prior to doing it.
That's actually mine as well. Mine was Mass Effect because it's just such a great series minus Andromeda.
On Andromeda, like as someone who came to that one much later, I think Andromeda has the best combat in the series.
Really?
I don't necessarily think it's... And I think its story is fine. Like, I don't think it's nearly as bad as people play it up to be. I think it's one of those games that had so many problems at launch that it basically became a meme.
Yeah.
And then they fixed it.
And then through patches, things got better. And so it's one of those, if you come to it now, I still don't think it holds up compared to 2 especially. But I do think it is a lot better than people give it credit for.
Yeah. Well, two was awesome. I remember having when that game came out, because I was a big fan of the first one. I had a guidebook because I was so nervous, and I don't buy guidebooks ever. And this was back in the day when people didn't use the internet to look up everything. So I had the guidebook, and I was like going through line by line to make sure I wouldn't miss anything, make sure everybody would live at the end, because your characters can die. I think anybody on the ship can die.
Basically, they can all die. At the end, you basically have a set of choices to make. Basically, you're trying to infiltrate a ship. Mm-hmm. And if you send the wrong people to the wrong tasks, or the people haven't been prepared through the side quests, they mm-hmm. can die doing those.
Yeah, I was so nervous. I was like, okay, this is all right. I got that. All right. And you also have to send, like you were saying, certain people to certain things. If you send the wrong person to the wrong thing, dead. They would just die. Yeah, it's like, oh man. But yeah, I agree with you on that one. I huge, huge Mass Effect fan. Well, what was the other one that you had?
So my other one kind of also follows that same meme as Mass Effect Andromeda. Mm-hmm. And that's No Man's Sky.
Yeah.
Another game that launched very poorly. But man, they turned that game around so much.
Originally crowdfunded though, right?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't believe.
I think it was just an indie studio, but I could be wrong. Mm-hmm. But the game at its core is a huge technical masterpiece.
Oh, it's
like basic, beautiful. Near infinite number of planets, or functionally infinite at least.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much to do on them. It does, and especially at launch, it dealt with being very samey.
Mm-hmm.
But through especially the crafting and the base building sides that they've added to it, that added a whole huge dimension to that game.
Yes.
Where you can now basically build bases. And then you also get a carrier ship that you can customize the interior of and mm-hmm. things like that. You can control a fleet. It added a whole lot as the game progressed. Well,
they've done since they started it, they've done 12 free updates.
Yeah.
12. Yeah. In what 4 years? I talked about this on a podcast a few weeks ago. That really is a game that has done some just crazy things, and I mean they redeemed themselves from that.
Right,
Chris, have you played No Man's Sky?
Oh yeah. And my favorite thing about No Man's Sky is that it was essentially a PS4 exclusive, mm-hmm. And then due to everything, you can get that game cheap on PlayStation. And then it was launching full price on Xbox and PC. And I'm like, I paid $10 for my version.
I paid $15 at a GameStop.
And I got mine at launch, so I was in that group.
You were I did too, but then I got rid of it and then got it again, then got rid of it and got it again. And I said, you know what? On update, it was like update number 6. I'm like, I'm keeping this. I'm keeping it.
Yeah.
Have you guys played any of the new, it's the new Origins update? Have you played it?
No, I really got back into it right around when Beyond launched. Mm-hmm. That just kind of coincidentally, I was job searching at the time. And so, and then I ended up getting a job, but needing to wait a couple weeks for it to start.
Mm-hmm.
And it was right around when Beyond dropped. And so I put in, I think I had played like 15, 20 hours of it when it first launched. And then hit that wall of just like, why am I mm-hmm. doing this? And then, cause like there was still stuff I could do. There was obvious progression, but it didn't matter. Mm-hmm. And then Beyond dropped. And I think I put in another 80 hours in the game.
Wow.
I think that's when I first jumped in was Beyond.
Yeah. I think it was.
And it's one of those things, like I'll jump back in occasionally, but I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah. If you have to, and they don't really tell you either. It's just kind of like, there it is.
Figure it out. Good luck. And I love that about the game at the same time mm-hmm. because it's just so exploration based and building based. But I'm just like, wait, how do I fight these things again?
Should I leave the planet?
Yeah.
The Origin update is so cool because they had they've added like all kind of stuff to the planet. So I went to a planet that had volcanoes. It's like a volcanic planet, so volcanoes everywhere. There's planets that now with giant sandworms, like from Dune.
Nice. Ooh.
and Tremors. So like you got sandworms, there's asteroids that come and hit the planets. I was playing on stream, actually streamed No Man's Sky when we first started streaming. And I think an asteroid hit one of the planets I was on because I felt like the rumble. What the heck is going on? And they've added like new characters, new they just added a bunch of different things. Now we're recording this podcast a little early, so we're doing this the week of Halloween. They're actually currently doing they have these like derelict spaceships in space, and they're doing some Halloween themed stuff. So you could land on the ships and there's these like aliens that come at you. So you're in space, the ship is like broken down and crumbling. You land inside and you're fighting, you're like moving really slow. It feels very much like Dead Space. It's like, it's crazy. But I highly recommend No Man's Sky is just such a great game.
They did such a good job bringing that back. Yeah. And
it's a great success story.
I'm just really happy they didn't abandon it and they continued working on it for sure. One thing to know about No Man's Sky is I am terrible at space combat.
Mm-hmm. I am too, so don't feel bad. Like,
where am I? How do I hit that guy?
I was talking to this episode's already come out now, but Jarrett from the Infinity Bros. the episode I'm referring to actually goes November 6th, and we were talking about No Man's Sky, and he was talking about playing in with the VR, and he said,
"Oh yeah, yeah."
He said, "I just couldn't play it anymore because I was getting so motion sick."
Yeah, I bet.
Anything in space. One of the first things I ever played in VR was at PAX. And it was a space simulation game. And, oh, man, it's just that extra degree of control.
It's just insane.
Couldn't do it. Just couldn't do it.
Nice. Well, Chris, what we'll move to you. What's your favorites in space? We haven't said yours already, right?
Nope, we haven't.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure. We've been talking about No Man's Sky for a bit. So.
Space-based game. So No Man's Sky was kind of on my list, but I figured Cam might bring it up. So
I got you.
But I have to bring up StarCraft.
Okay.
Nice.
I played StarCraft.
Granted, you don't do... I just... Like, it's such a good RTS game. StarCraft and StarCraft 2. I wish Blizzard would do more with this IP. They scrapped their original plan for an MMO-based... based on the world, but I love the at least if we're just doing classic, the three primary races. So you got the Terran, so humans. I love the interaction with the possible, like the more primordial Zerg type, mm-hmm. and how they ultimately are like, and then their growth and transition into like these almost Homo sapiens with the corruption of Terrans. But at the same time, like there is no like clear good or bad, like this is all just survival, and then the Protoss are just a cool futuristic race that have like the porting technology and everything. And
I think Protoss probably have some of my favorite ship design,
right?
Like they're like the design of their units is so cool.
Awesome.
But also like the Protoss not only being technology advanced, they also have like biologically are advanced in a sense. They also have like a mystical power to them, which is super cool. And then just the interaction of when these three, I guess, intergalactic travelers end up on the same world and how that chaos ensues.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. See, I've never played StarCraft. I heard it's it is like a real big thing in Japan, right?
I'd probably say probably bigger in the Koreas anymore. But
really?
Yeah, it's also one of like the first like esports. The RTS StarCraft is.
Yeah, OG StarCraft was OG huge in that.
Huge in like competitive realm.
Don't they make references to StarCraft and Overwatch? I want to say they do. Are you guys familiar with that?
I would not be surprised.
I wouldn't be surprised.
That definitely seems like something Blizzard would do, but
yeah,
I don't. I haven't played too much Overwatch, so
I don't know. With the big mech girl, apparently something about I've just heard that. I don't
like
know
in general. Yeah, that not, probably is a pretty good reference to like the enhanced suits that the Terrans use in the StarCraft universe. And yeah, but it's a fun game, and there's a good plot portion to it, and I just mm-hmm. really do want Blizzard to do more. Hey, Blizzard, listen.
Listen up.
You do this. We don't need any more World of Warcraft expansions. We need more StarCraft in our life.
Nice. So yes, so D.Va does have in-game references to StarCraft
esports culture as a whole.
And apparently one of the ways she was originally described was as a StarCraft player. And so like that was like her lore was that she had and that might not be true anymore, but apparently that was one of the original pitches for that character. And this is all just based on a very short Google search. So Overwatch fans, you can come at me.
Awesome. Yeah, awesome. We pretty much covered mine. Mass Effect, not really in space the whole time, but I did enjoy the Outer Worlds. That's a sci-fi themed RPG that's really fun. From the same studio that did Fallout New Vegas, yep. which I love New Vegas, so it was really fun to get back into that. That was really fun. No Man's Sky, love it. So that's we kind of talked about all the ones I like. Awesome.
I do have another shout out to a game that I really like the idea of, but do not like playing, and that's EVE Online. And so EVE Online, for people that don't know, is this MMO. It's all on one server, so every single player is in that one world. It's a game that very much has its own history and culture.
And it's been around for forever, right?
Long time. Yeah. And one of the things that's super cool about it, or super interesting, mm-hmm. is because you can buy... It's a subscription-based game. Mm-hmm. And you can buy your subscriptions with real money, obviously, and then sell them in-game. So because of that, there's a like actual dollar conversion to how much everything costs in game. Wow. And so when every time there's a super big battle in EVE Online, mm-hmm. It becomes this like this many dollars of things were blown up because you can do that straight conversion.
Wow.
And so it's super interesting. I love reading about EVE. I very briefly played it. Like I said, it's not really my thing. But like, I definitely recommend people go and look up the like corporate espionage level shenanigans that go on in EVE Online.
I heard that it's pretty insane. That it's just ridiculous. It's like super crazy.
Super like if you are really into numbers, that's your game. Like it, there's like real life calculations you have to do to be good at that game.
Wow,
I remember correctly,
that was insane.
It's like, yeah, you can casually play, but like for the people that are really into EVE, yeah. like it's a good model for very number crunchy geeks.
That's awesome. Well, I think we're going to go ahead and move on to our pick of the week. And we'll start with Chris. Chris, what is your pick of the week this week?
That's a wonderful question.
I'm putting you on the spot. Cameron, what is your pick of the week?
So when you said that we had this on our podcast, we do a what we've been up to the past week. And so I was just like, well, what are the things that I've been up to this week? And so this past week, I started playing Genshin Impact, the latest like gacha game, but it's come to console. And so I'm playing on PlayStation 4. And so that's definitely been my my big thing. I've really it's a very fun and mindless game that's definitely free to play. Mm-hmm. Like there's a whole lot of that gacha elements going on, and I really enjoy it for what it is. The story is it's an RPG story. Mm-hmm. It's a very like you come to this town and now you saved it from this giant threat that conveniently only you could save it from.
So and, from what I understand, it's very like anime meets Breath of the Wild, right?
Yeah, that's definitely very apt. And then plus loot boxes. So so it's anime, Breath of the Wild with loot boxes.
Throw in the loot boxes. Nice. Nice.
Right. The reason why I was having a hard time is because I was like, what have I done since yesterday? Because it feels like a whole new episode. So I'm just trying, like, so my brain's like, what have I been up to since I last talked about what I've been up to? And I'm like, wait, that was just yesterday and I haven't done anything. But at the same time, I could mention the same things I mentioned on our episode.
Yeah, perfectly fine.
So my pick of the week is ultimately, I started watching the Netflix series Queen's Gambit.
Okay.
About a fictional story about a female chess prodigy, kind of orphaned female chess prodigy. It has some really good elements in it, and I'm really enjoying it. I'm really enjoying watching her character develop. So I don't care about chess really, but it's also set in like the 1960s era. So there's a lot of like cultural pieces that they try to incorporate into that, into her world building, and I really enjoy that. So that's what that's my pick.
Nice. And luckily this episode won't premiere until like mid-November, so we're good. All right. My pick of the week this week is Ghosts of Tsushima Legends. I just started playing. I played with my buddy the other day and we had a blast with it. It's a cool like multiplayer aspect. There's a little bit of story. The story itself is actually more mythical inspired. So I don't want to spoil too much, but like one of the first one was one about Bleeding Hearts. And then there was some like other like Japanese mythics stuff in there, which was really cool. There's also like a mode that's like a horde mode that you have to fight. I played a little bit of that earlier today and I got my butt kicked on. I think it was number 14. So we got to 14 and we got wrecked. There's four different classes you can play as. There's a hunter, an assassin, a ronin, and the samurai. I think I got that right. I could be totally wrong.
For me, Ghost has been on my list, and Chris, I know you've played. So I'll hop in before you go into it, since y'all will have more to talk about. But it's one of those games that was on my list, and I didn't get when it came out, and now we're about to enter the, like, 4 months of like 8 open world games all coming out at one time. And so it's just like, there's just so many of them coming out that like my intention of getting there means I'm probably never going to get there.
Well, luckily though, if you wanted to play Cyberpunk, it's now in December. So you're,
if only there was some way of knowing and expecting that this game has been delayed multiple times would get delayed again.
Up to this point, I'm like, just do Cyberpunk 2021. Just announce it for 2021. Whatever. I was correct with that in saying that it is a samurai, a hunter, a ronin, or an assassin. So I'm playing as the hunter. Hunter is pretty sweet because you're mainly just ranged, picking off people with bows. It's so awesome. I actually just got the longbow in Legends today. So it's kind of, as you play, you progress more. You get different outfits, different items. You get different upgradables, like different charms, different like better weapons, and that's how you progress through it. So you can play it, like the replay value is pretty high on it. So I played it a bunch already, and I'm just progressing my character. And then you could eventually, you pick one to start with, and then once it unlocks, you could pick other characters to play as. So it's really fun. I highly recommend, if you have Ghost of Tsushima, grab some friends and check out Legends. Chris, do you have something you want to say about it?
I haven't touched Legends yet, but Ghost of Tsushima is just such a well-done game, especially for a non-Japanese studio. Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite things about this game is the respect it had for Japanese culture and Japanese characters. So much so that Japanese game producers and studios were like, wait, how is this a game that we didn't make, out of respect for what they had accomplished from a non-Japanese studio? Mm-hmm. And I love the game. Although, I mean, it's a little redundant in the primary story where all you do is kill Mongols, but that's a whole other issue.
That story just in a whole, I was listening to another podcast that that's all they did. They focused the one episode on it. It was the Reformed Gamers. Go! I'll give them a shout out. Go check out that episode that they did on Ghost of Tsushima, they talk about it and they go into detail on some of the things. If I wouldn't listen to it if you haven't played the game, because they do give spoilers. So if you play it and you just want kind of like a retrospective on it, go listen to it. It was really good. I did just enjoy the story. Was awesome. Photo mode in it on itself was awesome. You can do some of those photo mode things in Legends as well. So that's really cool. Me and my buddy LJ, we've been playing. He's been taking photos galore. We did some like really cool photos. One of them had, we got our swords were like elemental due to one of the missions we were playing. And so he was on top of a rock and I was on the bottom of the rock. And he was like, I got the high ground now. And he took the photo of his sword was glowing and mine was glowing and I was looking up. It was pretty sweet. That photo is actually on our Twitter that we posted. So if you just scroll back, you can find it. It's really cool. So yeah, and that is our picks of the week. Guys, is there anything else you'd like to talk about space before we close out? Anything, any final thoughts on the final frontier?
I was just about to say that.
Yeah. I will say for me, as I was thinking through this, it was hard to separate sci-fi from space.
Mm-hmm.
Like, cause there's so many good, like sci-fi IPs mm-hmm. that like
aren't space.
Even to like, almost to like the StarCraft example mm-hmm. where like, you're not necessarily in space. And so, and I think that that's something that like a whole bunch of the first things that came to mind for me were very much that idea. And then it's like, oh no, I can't, that doesn't apply because it's futury, but futury Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, StarCraft's not futury Earth.
Right. Like I said, but
right.
But like a whole lot of the ones I was thinking of fell into that category.
Yeah. Right. Same here. Like, I'm like, oh, okay. Oh wait, but no, that's just, but then I also really started thinking, I'm like, there are so many space things at the same time. And like initially there's like things that would pop up as I'm thinking of like what I want to include. And then I'm like okay, no, that doesn't really fit. And then I'm like, oh, here's three other actual examples of space things though. I'm like, oops.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, thank you guys again for coming on. Where can they find you?
You can find our podcast at OneGeek411 on pretty much all social medias. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram are our big ones. And then we also have a Discord. You can find a link to that on our website, which is onegeek411.com. And then, as mentioned earlier, we stream Monday nights, 6:45 Mountain Time on twitch.tv/onegeek411. And then my personal social media is Humar Whittle, which is a Phantasy Star Online reference, which is a game about space.
there you go.
Brought it all in.
Came all the way around. I like it.
Yeah. And since we're also a podcast, you could always find us wherever you listen to your podcasts, Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, whichever. And then my personal social media, I am Not So Foreign. That's NOTSO4EIGN.
Awesome. And you could find us, as always, on our Facebook page at Mountain Nerds Podcast, on our Instagram at Mountain Nerds Pod, and on Twitter at Nerds Mountain. You can also catch us streaming on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. CST. That's Central Standard Time. Right now, we are currently playing just kind of a mishmash of games. Right now, we're still playing The Last Campfire. I don't know what we'll be playing by the time this episode comes out. Maybe Pikmin. I'm still thinking about it. Ooh. So you can check us out streaming, like I said, every Wednesday. Thank you guys for listening to this episode. And as always, stay safe and stay nerdy.
I love you.
Wash your hands.